Hey, welcome to Confident You Podcast. Hey there, Confident You. This is Marion Swingler, your host. Excited to be here yet again. Listen, as I grew up, I could say that it was always said, or that it was frequently said, that women have a place. Like the TV shows that I would watch. Women really didn't work in those TV shows. Their place was at home, cleaning and taking care of the kids. And I know from going through history classes that that changed here in America drastically when there was the war and the men went off to war. And I'm doing this very generic, no worries. And they went off to war, and the women were left to go to work. Now, they didn't get paid what everybody else got paid. And when the men came back, they were expected just to return back home. In all of that time, I would say that the change and the shift shifted the desires of women's hearts. They really wanted to be able to be out in the workforce, out earning, out doing, out producing, out using their gifts and talents and abilities. And the concern for some men at that time was, well, who's taking care of the kids? Because they were like, I'm not cleaning and I'm not watching the babies. We got somebody here with us in this space, in this time, who's going to help us bring that thing up to right now. Because now, oh, things are real different, baby. And she's here to let you know how to do it. So with no further ado, I am honored to bring to the platform Michelle Cage. How are you, gorgeous?
I'm great now after that hype. I love it. You are the hype woman of the year, okay?
Oh my goodness, I'm honored. I am hyped because I'm honored that you're here to discuss this. On this platform, we talk to a lot of people that are in business for themselves. But I always make sure that I highlight that they're doing other things besides that one thing. So I'm honored to have someone here to help people understand how to do all those other things while they do that other, that big thing that they want to do, and that they can indeed do it all. Because your question is, who says that you can't do it all? Honored to have you here. If you could introduce yourself to the Confident You family.
Hey, Confident You family. So like our beautiful host has already said, I'm Michelle Canes, and I help mompreneurs create business life balance and create connections with their preteens. So that's my
business life balance and connections with preteens. So let's go back to when you were a preteen.
Yes.
So, disconnect there for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was around the age of, I would say, maybe 10, 10 and a half or so. And I became one of those latchkey kids. So, you know, the kids that you have the key when you come home, you got to open up that door because ain't nobody there. You got to figure out how to have a snack after school. You got to figure out how to do your homework without falling asleep, depending on what kind of day you had, you know. And back then, we didn't have all of those different activities after school and what have you. Some people did have a little busy schedule, but I certainly didn't. And so I was left to my own devices. And so there was a little bit of disconnect. My mother, lovely person. My father wasn't really around, but my mother was super sweet, loving, did the best she could. We had family as neighbors, so there were people around, but I'm in an apartment in New York City by myself. Yeah.
Where are you now?
in New York City.
New York. That t-shirt was made for me. That saying that was made for me. I'm sorry. I digress.
I believe it. New York is the bomb. You know, we'll get into conversation about my preference of living situation, but New York is great. New York is great. I'm not going to deny. Maybe not to live forever, but you know, it's great. Yeah. So I started to, all of a sudden, I started to become mindful. I was practicing mindfulness on my own, not knowing what it was. I had no idea what mindfulness was. I had no idea what meditation was, but it was something that I think God just gave to me. And so it naturally came to me while I'm in, you know, my free flowing state of being creative and having a lot of time on my hands. It's something that just came to me. And so I'm using that now, which I know we'll get into, but I'm using that now to sort of teach little ones how to be more mindful themselves, but also teach parents how to parent mindfully. So,
okay. So what exactly would you define as mindfulness as you discovered it at a young age?
That's a good question. I feel like that's a little bit loaded, but let me try to break it apart. So I feel like there's like a definition of mindfulness now that people use, and it's being in the present moment in full awareness at the time where you are. Some people describe it, or I like to describe it as using your senses. So you use your senses and sort of move through space, but stay within the now, stay within the present. So whether it could be like using your sight to focus on a flower, to look at this flower, taking the color, the details of it, how many petals, how many leaves, or, you know, depending on what kind of plant or flower it is. But mindfulness as a kid was really me just writing poems. It was me staring into space, sort of daydreaming, right? But having these intense emotions around it. And plus, I was a church kid. So it was like, I grew up in church and I was, you know, told you have to pray. I didn't know what that was. I knew how to say my prayers before bed and my prayers when I would be like, you know, about to eat or something like that. But this took it to a whole nother level. And I think that I've, you know, gained a deeper connection with God through that mindfulness as well. Yeah, okay. So it was dope. I didn't even know what I had at that time. I know what you had.
So it showed up in what's the most memorable way that you feel it showed up for you?
You know what's crazy? I would say the most memorable way it showed up is through photography. So I used to always have a disposable camera. I was obsessed with taking pictures. I used to always have a disposable camera. And I would stare at an object, or whether it was I was outside or inside, I would stare at something and just piece it together and apart in my mind over and over again, just staring at the details of it. And I'm like, I have to take a picture of this. And I would take pictures from such angles that people would just be like, oh, you just take a picture of anything, you know. But to me, it had meaning, it had substance, because it would be like, this part of this flower, this part of this plant is what stood out to me. This is what's beautiful. This is what speaks to me. And so it would be like, you know, all of this room, and I would go in a room, even if it was a family event, and take a picture of one little thing in the corner somewhere. And it just made me focus in on detail. I also became more aware of people's emotions. I started to be able to just feel, you know, you could feel a vibe from someone, but that's something that as a kid, you're not aware that you're feeling a vibe. You know it's something off, but you can't identify that. And I feel like I was a little bit more in tune with that than most kids at that age. Okay. So the most memorable thing I would say is photography, just taking pictures and finding a way to express myself and my feelings and emotions through that. I used to write poetry a lot too, but the photography stood out. Yeah.
You used to write poetry. Can you say one?
Marian, I said I used to.
You can say one of the old ones. Like, what was one of the ones that you wrote as a kid? A piece of one of the...
I can't say that I really remember it, you know, commit to memory. I do recall I was about 17 years old, 16 maybe, and I remember writing a poem about the rain. So I was in the neighborhood at my friend's house and it was pouring outside and I was like, I ain't going home till it start raining. And she was like, okay, well, I got to do my chores, whatever. And I'm sitting in the window and I remember just thinking intently about these raindrops and the way they sound and then when the wind blows. And so I can't tell you like, you know, exact line from it, but but yeah, it gets deep. It gets deep and really detailed.
No.
I definitely remember that.
Were you an only child?
No.
Because in all of these stories, I heard nothing about siblings. I heard a lot of you. And like you said, your mindfulness.
I wasn't an only child. I have my sister who is now, she's my best friend. She's 5 years older than me. So imagine me 10, she's 15. We got two totally different worlds, you know, and she was in them streets too. Not she wasn't a bad kid. She wasn't.
You just put your sister out there. I can't compliment you.
You know what's crazy though? We just found out and we're going to go live and talk about it. Our grandfather was a coach and she's a coach too. My sister's a coach. And that's crazy. We just found out. And she was like telling my grandmother, like, why are you just telling me that? She was
like, I don't know. What did he coach?
He coached drug people who are addicted and trying to get through addiction with drugs and alcoholism. Yeah. And they used to come to his house. She said them people was all over the house. Sometimes they ringing the bell 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, I need to talk to him. Isn't that crazy?
So you're telling me the gift that you have, that you're using now, is something that actually runs in your bloodline and you knew nothing?
I just found out literally probably 2 years ago. I mean, 2 days ago. I wish it was 2 years ago, but 2 days ago. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's
exciting. It's wow. Crazy. Okay. So, okay. Let me find out. You got lineage in this coach biz. All right.
Yeah. And she just said it. And she knows that I coach. She knows my sister. My sister's a relationship coach. And my grandmother was just like, you know, I remember when your grandfather used to coach and people would come to the house all times, day and night. My sister said, she was like, what?
When? Where?
How? Right. You didn't tell us about this. And she was like, you know, I didn't think it was important. I'm like, yeah, that's super important. And good to know, because sometimes, so also, we'll get into this, I'm sure, but I also have like my daycare business.
Yeah.
So juggling all these different things, sometimes you take a step back and you're like, okay, I need to sit for a minute. But it's like, no, God has a plan for you.
Come on here.
He has a plan and you got to stick to the plan. I mean, you could try to veer off, but you're going to get right back.
Listen, voluntary or involuntary, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's up to you. You don't have to, okay, don't do it. But, all right. Okay, so you talked about how you realized your gifting as a child. The disconnect that I was asking about, you're equating that to being a latchkey kid, but it's also the environment that fostered your gifting, that nurtured, matured, and gave it space and room to grow and be. Besides, or in addition to that, how would you say your relationship, you said your mom was the parent that was there, with your mom was?
Right. So it was pretty much non-existent for quite a bit. She worked nights for, I can't remember how many years. And so being that she was working nights afternoon into overnight, I wouldn't see her till I got up for school. Then she got me ready for school, took me to school. By the time I got home from school, she wasn't there, you know? And I appreciated the times when she, you know, had to take me to school because I was so young. Right. But by a certain age, it was like, okay, you can go to school by yourself.
Figure that out. You got it. Okay.
So it was non-existent. And on top mm-hmm. of that, I did have my father, who lived around the corner from us growing up. He had a lot of brothers, and they knew a lot of people in the street. And so they were street people. So I grew up. It's funny, too, because even lately, I'm realizing when people say certain things, right? And they're like, oh, that's drug dealer mentality. And I was like, but that's, I thought that's how I think. Like, I thought, like, because it's what I was around.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, and then I had family who were our neighbors. So my great grandmother was like my next door neighbor. So she would make sure I had dinner and put me to bed and everything, right? Eventually she would come, you know, take care of me. She was great. She was a great woman. That's why I grew up in church, because of her. So I'm not saying nothing, you know.
Right.
But
you just saying facts.
I'm just saying facts. That's it. But she was so loving and warm and sweet and stern at the same time. Mm. So I think having the dynamic with my uncles and then my great grandmother, and then time to myself, it allowed me to like just create my own beliefs, my own system of operating in the world, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to fast forward to now. You have children.
Yes, I have three.
And so how did your relationship with your three children begin?
Oh, I was just like my mom. I was just like my mom. And that's what parents do naturally, unless you work to, you know, avoid that. I was just like mom, you know. I always had something going on. For the most part of my adult life, I've always had like two jobs mm-hmm. or like a job and going to school. Mm-hmm. And so I had my son when I was really young. And at that point, I hadn't gotten my bachelor's degree. So it was like, okay, I got to go to school. I got to finish. I got to get this done. So I've always been like a hustler, always. So I was always doing something, always working on something. And he would be home with dad.
Did you say you always been in them streets?
That's not what I'm saying.
After you talk about your sister, sis, I got you.
I was a church girl. Remember, I was a church girl. Church girl.
Wait a minute. You was a church girl in them streets? We don't even need to clarify that. We don't.
That sounds so horrible.
Yes, it does.
You are hilarious. Yeah, but I was, you know, always doing something. And it's like, oh, mommy has to go and do this thing. And to me, because when each one of them were born, I was home with them for about maybe, I would say, a year, year and a half to 2 years. And then I would go back to work or go back to hustling and go back to, you know, all legal hustle. I'm just saying. I'm not, you know, a drug dealer or anything. I don't know who's watching this.
Listen, they might have been waiting for the exclusive E! True Hollywood story. New York story. What went down in them streets with this church?
Harlem in the 80s was crazy. It was nuts. It was something else.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for you to be what? Harlem in the 80s? And for you to be home alone? And
right.
To right. your own devices? And those are the things that you found beautiful.
Right.
And that's what right. you found. Absolutely yeah. amazing. Absolutely.
It could have went so many different ways. You know? And so I look at people now that we're the same age and they didn't make it the same way I made it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I know I'm blessed. I know I'm getting chills right now because yeah. I know God was like, okay, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. Let me give you this right now. You're going to need this, you know? Yeah. And there were several other things that happened in my life that it was like, I got this to turn to, whether, you know, people want to deem it and call it, you know, what you call it, blasphemy, because I've heard so many different things, because I feel like I should mention that mindfulness can be secular, but it can also be about your prayer. Like the Bible talks about meditating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it can be about God. It can be towards the right path. You know, it doesn't have to be that I'm Buddhist or any of those other things that sometimes people attach to it.
Yes.
So,
yes, definitely. The Bible does say you're supposed to meditate day and night on the word. It does not mean sit there with your Bible open and that's all you do and that's it. No, it means that you've taken a word and you're applying it to your life, to your everyday. Get in the shower, put on your clothes, get in your car, drive down the street, listen to the radio. Your everyday. Watch TV. Your everyday. In those vital moments of conversations with people and they feel lost. And those are your answer. You got them. You pull them out. Hey, I got it. Because you meditated on it. And so, like you said something. You said you would take those pictures from different angles. And to me, it just shows how open-minded you are to everyone's point of view. Because if you can look at one thing and see different angles and see the beauty in it all the way around, up, down, sideways, all the way, then that definitely means that you have the type of mind and spirit to help diversity of people in different situations and see their point of view and help them to see a better way in that.
Absolutely. Point. Absolutely. I became just so much more empathic, especially when I tuned into it and really got like fine tuned my practice. I became such an empath. Like, it was amazing. And that's what helped me with my children as well. So my son is 20 and my daughters are 14 and 12. Soon to be 15, Lord of mercy.
Did you just say Lord of mercy? I heard the whole record play when you said
yes. Yeah, it takes a record to put, you know what I'm saying? Like, we need to hear that. So when they were much younger, like I said, I got to spend time with them, which was cool when they were really small. But then it was like, okay, I got to get back to work. I got to get back on my grind, my hustle. And so I was always doing something, because when I dive into something, I am laser focused. Like, I go ham, I go crazy. So even when I was home with them, like, I was teaching them to read really early. I was teaching them colors ahead of time, walk, talk, everything. We was on it, like, you know, because I had to teach myself how to teach them. But so that in itself, that's a whole nother podcast episode right there. But so it was nice to have that. And I felt like they were set. Right. Mm-hmm. But kids forget everything. Like, you can't just, kids are not set it and forget it. And I had that set it and forget it mentality. I was treating them just like another one of my business ideas that I was trying, or multi-level marketing I had tried, or, you know, this workplace that I was like, okay, let me get these extra hours at. And I was treating them like, okay, they good. Dad is home, so they okay. I'm out. He come home from work, I'm out. You know, and so it was a lot of disconnect, and it came to a point where it was like, okay, I don't really know these kids as good as I think I do. Because even like, I would spend time with them and I would be busy looking at something else. So I wasn't even using mindfulness with my children, because I would be with them, but then I'm reading emails and I'm like, oh, I got to make this call. I got this client. You know, and so it was constantly me trying to split myself at the wrong time. And so that's where, you know, we'll talk about that too, the time management thing. But it was me trying to do everything at the same time. And when you split your identity, or when you split your mind to focus on different things, you're basically splitting your identity, because you can't identify and say that I am a mom right now if you're trying to mom while work at the same time. It doesn't go that way. And so when I realized I had this disconnect, I was like, okay, I got to do something about this. And
can you give me an example of when you realized there was a disconnect? Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So this was the punch in the gut. The punch in the gut was my son, who was about 14. And I asked him how therapy went. And he said it was great. We talked about the suicide. And I was like, what suicide? What are you talking about? He said, yeah, long story short, I got down to it. He thought a lot, but didn't try, thank goodness. But he thought a lot about suicide when he was around the age of 12. And so how do you take that? How do you process that?
How do you process that if you said he was 14 when you had this conversation?
Exactly. So this is 2 years beyond the point of when he was feeling that way. And I thought my kids could come to me and talk to me about anything.
Same.
So this was something, not only was this like serious and severe, you didn't come to me for 2 years.
Wait, he never came to you. You asked him how the session went.
Right.
He was just giving you an update. He still never came to you with the information.
Exactly. So double entendre, right? So I was like, I was shocked. I was hurt. I was, you know, all of these different feelings that I tried to process within myself. And still try to be emotionally available to him. And I couldn't. And I said, I prayed on it. And I was like, something. And God told me, you have the answer. You've been practicing this almost your whole life. You have mindfulness. You got the answer. And I was like, okay. At first I was just like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And then I had joined this mindfulness email group. And this woman posted how to teach mindfulness to children. And I was like, we doing that.
What would be the reason, or how do you feel? I guess my better question would be, how do you feel when God said you have it, mindfulness? How did that apply to your situation?
At first, that would just went over my head. I was like, what? Like, I know I practiced this here and there. And this was at a time where I wasn't really practicing it. So I'm like, I know, like, you know, yeah, people said this thing called mindfulness. And at some point I realized, like, okay, I was practicing mindfulness and meditation when people started talking about it more and all of that. But at first I was just like, that doesn't make sense to me. How am I going to teach him? Like, it felt like I had to teach it to him. Because I know what worked for me and certain traumas and things that I went through as I was coming up.
Okay.
So automatically it was like, that doesn't make sense. And then it was like, wait, I should teach this to him. Wait, how am I going to teach this to him? I have no idea. Like, you know, it wouldn't come to me. And then when I saw that woman, I was like, okay, I definitely got to partake in this program. So I did her program. She's actually moved on in her career, and she's like sought after now and everything. And it was something that I was able to implement just off of her book. I didn't even need her coaching program, but I did the book and the coaching program, and I was able to teach him breathing exercises, teach him things that I learned from there. And, you know, my girls started to be inquisitive, like, okay, what's that? What you doing? So I was like, wait a minute, they're kind of much younger. How am I doing this with them? So it was like a learning process where I had to like teach myself how to. So I was already used to teaching myself how to take care of them from when they were really small, right? It was like, how do you teach a kid how to read when they're two? Okay, right. And I did it. How to teach them how to walk a little bit early. Okay, and I did it. So now this was a matter of like falling back into what I already had done. So the things started to line up when I felt like God is really talking to me, because I'm like, I know how to do this. I know how to do that. Okay, well, now I just go back in. I already know how to learn and then teach my kids. Just do it again. Yeah, so that was beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful. It's beautiful that you're able to go back through your life and see how God has created you.
Yes.
How you work.
Mm-hmm.
How you process, how you output, and how you share with others. Because I believe everybody does it differently. The thing I think that the world needs is to accept that everybody does it differently. Nobody's wrong. Unless you're hurting someone or yourself, you're not wrong.
Right.
It's the way that you do it. So right. In teaching it to them, do they then make it a unique way that they do it? Or is it something where you're saying, nope, it's got to be this?
No, so it's unique to the person. So different techniques work for different kids, obviously, because it's unique. So everything that I did with my son, especially because he was, he's 5 years old in my middle. So everything I did with him didn't really take to the girls. It was kind of like, okay, I got to approach it differently. I got to do something different with them. So now what my son does is he's 20, so he's the oldest. So now what he does is he prays and he reads his word and he'll pray on. First, he'll pray, God, show me, you know, what I need to know today. He'll read either his Bible plan or just a scripture that he's on. He creates his own Bible plans and how he wants to read through it. And then after that, he'll meditate on the word.
Yeah.
So that's his way of doing it. My girls, because I do give them free reign, freedom of choice. I mean, they're not parenting themselves like I was, but they're not heavily.
It's so shade on mama. Listen now.
No.
Listen.
Mama, she knows. We done talked it out. She knows. So we all right. We here now.
Okay.
But my girls don't really take to the Bible. They both are in Catholic schools, and so they kind of, you know, have to study religion and have religion class and all of that stuff. But they don't really take to it like he does. And so they have their own way of doing it. And one of the things that I help my youngest create is the mantra. And so that's when I came up with the mantra book, because it was like, okay, this is good, you know, and we was going through it. And we was doing it like every day. And I'm like, I want to put this in a book. So it is, you know, it is the book is a kid's book, but anybody could do it. Anybody could say it. Anybody can, you know, use it.
Give me an example of what's in there. Example.
I am my greatest self. I am uniquely gifted. I am a gorgeous shade of brown. My body is beautifully perfect. I am a leader and create my own way.
Yes. All the things.
Yeah.
All the things.
All the things. So.
Oh my gosh. So wait. So you went from having a disconnect with your children to teaching them the thing that helped you get through life. Mm-hmm. Because you had to get back that relationship with that gifting back and then share that relationship with them so they could have a relationship with it. And then it turns out you have a book.
Mm-hmm.
How do we end up producing? So with reconnecting with your children, did other things in your life that you were engrossed in, did those that you were invested in, did those things lack?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of those things was myself. And so in digging deep into how to teach it to them, I started to realize the areas I was lacking in, and they started to be more vocal and, you know, more communicative about how they were feeling. And they started to tell me the areas I was lacking in. So it was no secret that mama needed to do some work too.
I thought I was the only one. Girl, I got called to a family meeting. I was like, who? What? Mm. And the family meeting was about me. I said, wait a minute.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That's beautiful, because that gives you a point to then reference and say, okay, this is where I am. And this is what they're saying. So what do I need to do? And what's reasonable now? Because you have to have your own boundaries with children. So what's reasonable? What can I accept right now? And what do we need to continue to meet about and focus on?
Yes. It was amazing because in that moment, I saw myself how they saw me, and I didn't know I was even doing it. I saw myself, how they saw me, and I was able to implement, okay, I'm fixing this. But the reason I do this is because y'all do this. So everybody has to work on in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, it allowed me to be able to also put on the table, you know, you're doing this and you're doing this. That's what I feel is triggering me to do this. I didn't realize I was doing it to that depth. I didn't realize it was hurting you. Yeah, my words. I didn't realize my words were hurting you. And they were like, yeah, nah, you got to stop. So I don't want to make this about me. So I'm not going to go into what that is, because then this conversation is going to go
ahead. I have more questions too. I was going to go into coach mode.
It sounds like you need to bring me on your what's coming out soon? Yeah. Your pod.
My podcast. Yes, my podcast.
I'm excited. So you have a podcast. You have children that are doing mantra. How did you now, that mindfulness that you taught them, how did you then take that to the next level?
Okay, so I'm like, oh, I know how to teach mindfulness to children. This could be something that helps me leave my job, right? And I was already working on a business, already had side projects, already like semi-coaching people, already doing stuff. And so I'm like, maybe this could be something that I focus on. And so I don't remember how I reconnected with this woman, but it was a woman who, when I homeschooled my kids, my youngest attended her forest school. And my youngest was 6 at the time, I believe. But it was like a lot of little kids. Like it was ages 3 to 6, but it was a lot of 3 and 4 year olds. Mm-hmm. And so she decided to open up a daycare, and her daycare was focused on Reggio Emilia, which is funny that you mentioned earlier about people going off to war and the woman wanting to do things, because that's kind of how Reggio got developed. It's a pedagogy, a way of teaching kids. And it was, there's a town in Italy called Reggio Emilia, and people were at war and kids were roaming the streets, and this young teacher decided to study children, and he found out that children have multiple ways of communicating with you if you just watch them and say nothing.
Yes.
And so that, I was like, I love that pedagogy. So I kind of connected with her again and talked to her about like opening my own daycare. I was like, I always wanted to do this. And so my daycare is Reggio and mindfulness. So we teach both. We let the children kind of lead, and then we also teach them through sound bath, teach them about their breath and focusing on breathing out, exhaling, like blowing bubbles. It gets the job done, and it automatically calms them down and all of this. So as I'm doing this, I'm talking to parents, and I'm like, as I'm trying to start it, I'm talking to parents in the neighborhood, and I'm like, parents really need me. Like I could feel it. And plus I was already kind of coaching people, adults, in mindfulness. And I'm like, I always ended up with people who were parents, and they were always complaining about their children. And I'm like, but what did you do? but why does that trigger you? Let's investigate that. So it turned into like parenting sessions. So it went from me just coaching on mindfulness into parenting. And then I'm like, okay, I got to make sure that I'm doing this on a level where it's focused on saving parents and children, and not saving, like saving their lives, but sort of, right? Because in my case, my son, with his suicide thoughts and all of that, you never know what a kid could be thinking. And you can have an open relationship with them. Look at Sinead, what's her name? Who her son had, I don't mean to bring it down, but her son had killed himself. He was 17. And to her, that was devastating because she thought they were close. Yeah. She said they had a great relationship. They spoke in depth every single day. And so that was a shock to her. That was crazy. I think her name is Sinead O'Connor. But
yes.
Yeah, yeah. But So for me, within me going through that whole process, I decided, okay, maybe I should get mindfulness certification for adults. I already have like this class that I took for kids. I use it with my children. I'm looking to use it with other people's children. Maybe if I'm going to teach the adults and work with parents, that I want to be certified. So I then got my certification in mindfulness, which was great because that was with Elisha Goldstein, who is in California, and he is like one of the top people in mindfulness, and he's always writing articles and books about it, and he's the go-to. And so that experience in itself, going in his program, was like I was one of the participants in his program. So he taught me how to teach his six-month program, and I went through it as if I was a participant while learning it from both angles. So I was the participant and the teacher, and we got to teach, and we got to practice with each other. It was just a phenomenal experience, and that as well made me a better parent. It was insane. It was a year, but his program is 6 months for participants. So he taught me how to teach his 6 month program.
Yeah. And I tell you that the different angles keeps coming up.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Give me more.
The mindfulness and the different angles of it keeps coming up. You said I was in the program as a participant, learning how to be the teacher, the facilitator, the instrument, giving the students the tools. And that is definitely seeing that same situation, that same scenario, that he's teaching the same things, the same tutelage, and you're seeing it from different angles, that mindfulness is definitely still showing up through mm-hmm. everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Now you've learned how to do this. You now have a much healthier relationship with your children.
Yes.
You now have a book. You now have learned how to not only have an increased healthier relationship with your children, you now can help parents do the same. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you're still
learning a lot about myself.
Right. I was going to say, myself. And you're still a wife, and you're still.
No, I'm not a wife. I wish. I'm no longer a wife. Yeah.
All right.
But I feel like that in itself was even a lesson. You know, God don't make no mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes.
Nothing. And he uses it all for your good.
Exactly. And I learned a lot from that relationship.
Yes.
A lot. Because it was so long. It was my longest relationship.
Yeah.
I learned a ton about myself. So it was dope. It was dope. Yeah.
And I can say that is the beautiful truth, what you're saying. Because most people come out and they're like, that person. And you're saying, no. I learned a lot about me. Okay. Different angle with that mindfulness. All right. So you said you learned a lot about yourself. I cut you off. I apologize.
Yeah. No, I did learn a lot about myself. And one of the things that I also wanted to talk, it is a fly up in here. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you. Not the fly. Fly, go away. Shoot. Being vulnerable as a parent. So that's what I learned from all of these things that have happened, but especially from that relationship. Just being vulnerable and being open and being able to see people as they are and understand where they're coming from and being able to walk away and saying, this is not for me. Those things were like, whoo, it was intense. It was a lot. And so anybody watching this, I just want to share my story, but also say that you can be vulnerable as a parent. And there are so many different benefits to being vulnerable and being open to what your children are telling you. I find that I'm often teaching people about active listening, and people think that they listen to children and they really don't. They listen from an authoritative perspective because they're the parent and they're used to being in charge. but you have to be able to learn how to listen from an objective point of view, and that is hard as heck. I almost said something else, but that's
okay.
As hard as heck, it is. It is. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You, ma'am. Okay. So, can you tell the people, because the title of this episode is "Who Says You Can't Do It All?"
Mm-hmm.
So, for you in all of those scenarios, who was telling you that you could not do it all?
I hate to say this again, but I could say amongst people, my mom. And it's no shade. But as a parent, right, we're, our job is to look out for our children, to provide safety. We have, like, I actually break down their needs and everything in the course that I have, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But my mom's job was to keep me safe and to make sure that I wasn't taking too much risk to where I might be hurt or, you know, emotionally drained and physically drained and all of that stuff. So her thing was, you can't do this and. That was the ongoing thing with her, is you can't do this and that. Focus on one thing. And I'm like, I can do this and that because I know I can. I believe I can. God tells me I can. And so I just push through and I push. And I feel like I wasn't trying to prove her wrong as much as I was trying to prove myself right.
Mm.
Because I love my mother dearly. We're still close. She's still instrumental in my life and my children's lives. But I just knew that I had a certain capacity, and I knew I wasn't done and I hadn't reached my capacity. And so that's what pushed me to move forward and do as much as I can, but also taking note to what makes sense and what doesn't. And so when I talk about how to have it all, what you want to do is balance your time effectively, but it's more than your time, it's your actions. So you don't want to do a lot of busy work, right? We get that as entrepreneurs. You don't want to do the busy work. You want to delegate. You want to push it out, you know, you want to push it out to someone else. You could get a virtual assistant. In my case, with my daycare, I have like these teachers and I'm like, I'm not going to be in on this day because I got things to do, you know. So you have to be able to balance out your time. But first, you want to make sure that you, it's a whole process. Like, you got to talk about your values, your principles, and what are your beliefs in order to get down to the nitty gritty of your goals and what you're trying to accomplish in order to get to the 20% of what actually moves the needle in your business and makes things progress, where you're not working harder, you're working smarter. That's a lot I could say about that. You could be all night on that.
So yeah. In being able to do it all, you're saying that the key would be prioritize, but first making a schedule. Prioritizing and being realistic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. But you have to know you. You have to know you. Do you know what you're good at? Do you know what you need to pass on to somebody else? And if you don't, why don't you? What have you tried? What haven't you tried? What systems are you using? What people are you using? Everybody needs a coach, I feel like, because that person could shrink down years of time into a small program or a session on Zoom or something like that, and where they're like you and you're writing profusely. That was me with my coach, writing profusely, and then you come from it and you have so much work that you have to do, but it gets you to that point much faster, right? And it gets you to figure out what you can manage, what you want to manage. And that's why I said also doing your values, like writing down what your values, what's your principles, and what's your goals. Because it doesn't make sense for somebody. Let's just say that somebody says like, okay, I want to be a billionaire, but I want to spend time with my children. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Most billionaires don't have no time. Most millionaires don't have no time. So it depends on what you want to go after, what you're looking for in life, and you got to make sure you're on that right path. Then you can get into your schedule and kick out the things that don't matter, delegate things that are very simple, like email lists or something like that, push it off to somebody else so you can focus on the meat and potatoes. And so that you can end that job or that work day and go home to your children and be able to not be burnt out and tired at the end of the day.
Does the day end with meat and potatoes? You lost me.
You said, does the day end with meat and potatoes? That's what you said.
Because you want to get to the meat and potatoes. Where?
You hungry.
So.
I'll just play with you.
No, I am. That was amazing. That was amazing. You have no idea. You said meat and potatoes. I was like, who's having meat and potatoes? I didn't get an invitation. No, what you're saying, when you get to your end of the day, you definitely want to make sure that the things you have done during that day are beneficial and pressing you towards the marks that you actually set in your life. And I do believe, for me, I believe that millionaires and billionaires have a choice. When you're saying delegate things, you can delegate things and you can prioritize your kids to be a part of the business, not forced.
Absolutely.
Or help them start their own business and you be a part of theirs. And that's how you can spend time together. Because I believe everybody can actually do all things. And like you said, but you have to be realistic. What's not you?
Mm-hmm.
What's not you?
Right.
What's not you and what's not realistic? That's not realistic. You know. But I, there is my favorite part in, well, no. One of my favorite parts in Love and Basketball.
Oh, she's looking back.
Okay. is when Q.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Little. And he looks like he's a preteen or a teenager. Yeah, preteen. And he cussed. His mom was like, boy. And she was like, you need to talk to your son. And when he said the cuss, the sentence enclosed or captured the word can't.
Mm.
The father didn't go after the cuss word. He went after can't.
Exactly.
What did I tell you about can't? Don't say that word. You can do anything. I caught myself with all the can'ts. I did a lot of them. So I just wanted to say, if you following the steps that you're laying out, especially the vital component that you're giving up, everybody needs a coach. You have just sat here and said, listen, I went through this coaching program to better learn and hone these skills so that I can use them accurately. Wait a minute, for my children.
Okay.
But I found that first I needed them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
So you had to help yourself. So that's what the coach is there for. The coach is there for you to help yourself be the better you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can help others be the better them. But I also want to say that coaches really, you said the word accelerate. And I would add to that, they do accelerate. It's like they quickly get you to a crossroad that it may have taken you a longer journey to get to that crossroad.
Yes.
And
yes.
At that point, it's up to you. What do you want to do with this information?
Right.
You want to go that way, or you want to continue down the way you're going, or you can flip the script and use it in a bad way and go that way. It's up to you.
Right.
Good
and
way,
then it's also,
way. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's also your blind spots.
Hmm.
Like a lot of people aren't self-assessing constantly like, oh yeah, I did this today and that person reacted this way and you know, just reliving their day. So the tool or the muscle to self-assess just isn't there, especially if you're busy and you're going and you're an entrepreneur and you're making moves, you don't, most people don't have the time to sit and just be with themselves and sort of understand where they are. And so what I teach is how to do that, but also coaches can do that. You know what I mean? Like coaches are able to see you from an objective point of view. They don't know you. They don't love you. They don't hate you. They don't like you or dislike you, but they can see what you're saying. They can see your results based off of what you share, off of what you share. And so then they can best advise you and guide you, and they can see where, like, you're missing the mark and you're not on point. Yeah. Wow. So it's super important.
Yes. You just said a lot.
I talk a lot sometimes.
Yes, you said a lot, because coaches, I know for me, it's why I'm here right now. It's why I'm here speaking, doing what I do. I started singing. Talking wasn't a part of it. Asking questions wasn't a part of it. That wasn't a part of it at all. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing to me how growing up the way that I did, being the youngest and not having a voice, always being under someone else's authority. So that's where I say not having a voice. No one told me. Well, yeah, my siblings did say shut up. So I can't say they didn't say that. But, you know.
But you have a story to tell.
Yeah.
You have a story to tell. And there's so many people, millions of people that feel the same way you feel, that were told to shut up or that they don't have a voice, you know, in different ways. And so your story is going to resonate with some other people. And so that's why God placed you in this. That is exactly why God placed you in this. So, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Changing lives. Look at you.
Hey, I'm out here in these streets.
Full circle. Look at you, full circle. Lord.
Out here in these streets. Changing lives.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Lord told me so. He did. He said, go out among the people.
Right.
And that's where we are. And I appreciate being out here with you.
Aw, I appreciate you more.
My goodness. So I would like for you to we're going to do a three-step out. The first step out is I would like for you to share with the people the amazing opportunities they would have to work with you.
Awesome. So to work with me, all you have to do is visit DearMissCanes.com. That's Dear Miss, M-S, and then Canes is C-A-I-N-E-S. I'm giving specially for the Confident You family. I'm giving away this three-step video, and that's actually how you start to work with me. I have a coaching program that is coming up August 26th. It's amazing. It's almost here. It's August already. 2023 flew by. Let's get into this program so that 2024 is even better. So you get into the program by watching that free video, and then it'll give you all access to go through. You answer some questions, and then we hop on a call and see how we can fit together. Yes. So please do that. And you can also, you know, reach out to me on Instagram, Dear_MissCanes. On Facebook, my Facebook page is Dear Miss Canes page. So you can hit me up there. And then don't forget to get my mantra book. Yes, that beautiful mantra is what it's called. I Am My Greatest Self, a mantra book for all ages. But it's what I kind of shared a little bit of earlier. It does look like a children's book, but anybody can use that mantra. It's amazing. It's helped me. It's helped my children, especially my youngest child. So don't forget to cop that book anywhere books are sold. Yes. And so that's oh yes, I see it on the screen. Thank you, Marianne. So I almost completely forgot about the amazing virtual women's empowerment event on August 19th. So you could click that link and visit Eventbrite and get your tickets for that event. So that event is completely virtual, and it's going to be myself speaking about parenting and mindfulness and all that good stuff, kind of like a preview of what I talked about today. But there's also going to be a relationship coach. My sister, Miss Monique Talley, is a relationship coach. She's going to be speaking about relationships, and it's called Healing is a Personal Journey, because we're going to be walking you through healing. There's also going to be, there's a ton of speakers. There's also going to be a spirituality coach who's going to be talking about how to get your spiritualness on and staying away from faux spirituality and getting into the real you. There's going to be a femininity coach Miss Sparkle Bailey is going to be talking about how to be super feminine and owning your feminine power without giving up your strength and, you know, all that good stuff. And it's going to be an amazing event. So do stay tuned for that. Do click that link so that you can tune in for that, because that's going to be amazing. Thank you so much, Marianne.
You got so much hot stuff happening, mama.
It's like, pass.
Hit them up, because you out there in them streets.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's my new tagline now. Dear Miss Keynes, she out there in them streets. That's it. That's going to be it. That's it. I can't wait.
I am so excited. So I did say I wanted to do three levels. The next level that I want to do is something I do before people leave. I want you to give any confident tips to mompreneurs, because there's the business and there's the children, but then there's also the mom. So if you can give them any confident tips on how you can do it all.
Yes. So mompreneurs, you can absolutely do it all. They say it's work and business life balance, but the truth is, and the secret is, there really is no balance. It's either you focus on this thing and then you go on to the next thing, and then you go on to the next. So know that if you're juggling things and you feel like, I can't balance it all, I can't, that's because there really is no balance. But what you want to do is be mindful about where you are, focus in on that one thing, where you are. So when it's time to be a mom, my first tip is, when it's time to be a mom, be a mom. When it's time to be the boss, be the boss. And when it's time to focus on you, focus on you. My second tip is to create space in your home where you can focus on yourself. So this would be like, think about like a cozy corner, or a mindfulness corner, things that they use in school. Those are terms that they use in the classroom. You want a space in your house that is dedicated for you. You want to include like a book there, your favorite coffee mug, and that's a place where you're going to go. And that's a place where you create it for yourself, and you can sit in that space. You could do whatever you want in that space, but you can't work in that space. It's you time. It's not kid time. It's not business time. It's you time. And the third thing I would say is to look at your phone and use those alarms. So what I do, and everybody doesn't subscribe to it, but I get up and I have time for myself at 4:30 a.m. every single day, except for Saturday and Sunday. I sleep in a little bit, 7:30. But I have time for myself before I wake the kids for school or work. If, you know, my son goes to work. I have time for myself at 4:30 in the morning. I go to my cozy corner. I'm using my alarms. If I'm super tired the night before, I know I'm setting 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 alarms to make sure I wake up on time. So those are my three tips to building a confident you. And yeah, you can have it all. Who says you can't have it all? You can. Absolutely.
Who said that?
Who said that?
Who said that? Don't make us roll up on you.
We in these streets. We up in these streets.
So the third component that I wanted to add, I know that you just gave confident tips. Is there any area of what you do that you feel like, I really want to say this?
Yeah. I feel like I want to say that moms, it's okay. Whatever happened in your past, you don't have to bring it to your children. Whatever happened while they were small, whatever happened in that relationship that maybe didn't work out, wherever there's space where you feel like you didn't produce fully for your kids, where you feel like you didn't show up fully, even if your kids are teenagers, 20s, 30s, it's okay. You are alive. If they're alive and you're in good health, then you have all the time you need. God does not let any opportunity go to waste. So take all the things that happened to you as a learning lesson and just move on and act like it's a new day. I know parents I know kids that don't speak to their parents. They've grown. They moved on. They don't want to speak to them. It is okay to reach out to them. It is okay. You can do anything that God puts in your heart. And if that's one thing that's in your heart, to reach out to them and to try to mend that relationship and get a deeper connection with your child, it's never too late. Never, ever too late. So know that it is okay. You did your best. I believe that all people do their best from where they are. You have done your best, and that's the best that you could have done. It is okay. And you can move forward. You can mend it.
It is okay. You can move forward. I like the component of the thing that stuck out from what you just said was that if your child isn't speaking to you, you can still reach out. I can say, I would advise send the text anyway. I send texts to my kids. I'll send prayers. I don't hear anything. I don't care. It's still my prayer.
Right. Right.
I literally was at one point when my son was in high school, I was putting stickies in his lunch. I was like different periods of time where I did things. Now I have them on a group text, the both of them. So the three of us are there, and every once in a while or so often, I'll send a picture, a throwback picture. I'll send prayer. I'll send, you know, I'll just send a different thing when they're on my heart and my mind. Now with social media, let's say you don't have your kid's phone number, they changed it, or they really want to ghost you, start a page and put that information there. Open it up every day. If I could see you, this is what I would say today. I pray that all is well with you today. Just put those posts up there, because I'm telling you right now, when someone who is estranged from you finds out that you're gone, that would be an amazing gift for auntie to tap them on the shoulder and say, yo, she left you a message every day. She wasn't angry with you. She didn't want to, she didn't throw you away. You chose to be where you were, but this is how she or he felt. And just so they could be able to go back through that page and see you there talking to them.
I love that. That's amazing. Yes. Look at God.
Look at God. Look at me. That's what he is. Guess what God is?
What?
Out here in these streets. Okay. That's the last one.
No, it ain't.
I know.
And that's okay. That's okay. We love it here. We love it here.
We love it here. What? That's what the Bible says, but the Bible literally. So anyone who feels like, oh my gosh, they did that with God. No, the Bible says.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says to go out. Yeah. It says to be in the world, but not of the world. Pay attention.
Exactly.
In the world. All right. So thank you so much for accepting my invitation. I knew that the value you would bring to the Confident You family was great, impactful, great depth, great heights, great width. My Lord, ma'am, as a mom, I can say the kids don't come with the rule book. They absolutely do not. We are literally guessing our way through. So I will share something with you I have not shared yet. It's almost a month now. In 2 days, it'll be a month. And, oh, don't cry. And I am, oh my God, I'm a grandma.
Oh my God, congratulations. Oh my God.
Ooh. I don't know where this came from.
Yeah, I love it. Let it out, girl. Let it out.
And so, you know, when I look at young moms, I was a young mom. I had my, this is the my daughter had her first child. And there's a whole story in that. And that's where the tears are coming from. And I just, I saw another mom on Sunday, and I let her know, listen, I don't let people cloud your mind with all these things you should do. You should be doing it this way. You should be doing that. You should be, throw all those should be's away. Follow the child. Follow the baby. And she was just pregnant. And I said, girl, enjoy your pregnancy. You want ice cream and this and that, you better tap in with your husband.
Mm-hmm. Get that ice cream and pickles.
I'm gonna need this right now. You want to stop the car and get something? I said, everything. And she said, in moderation, right? I said, exactly. Eat the things that you know you want the baby to also have. But if you're having those cravings, the baby is also, for some reason,
having them cravings.
So you have to follow that. So that the mindfulness starts during the pregnancy. While the child is small, just pay attention. This is a whole nother conversation. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I am a grandma of Lady Rose.
Yes. Ooh, oh my God, I love that name.
That's my granddaughter's name. This is the first time I'm saying it.
Yeah.
For the world to hear. Yes. So yeah. I'll ask permission to see if I can share a picture with you guys, Confident You fam. I am a grandma, because nobody's afraid of being a grandma. I'm grateful to be here. I have coined the name Glamma. Yes. Because she's cute. Don't do me like that. Glamma. You see me? Okay. Come on here. So yes, it has been an honor and a privilege. I could talk to you all time on all the things. So we are going to go ahead and call this a wrap, but definitely you will be back.
Yes, I would love to be back. This is great. I love talking to you. Amazing. This ain't our first conversation, y'all.
No.
Your
podcast. Tell them about your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was about to say something totally off topic. See, that's why I need mindfulness to focus. All right. So my podcast is still in the works, but it's basically going to evolve. So first it's going to be me talking, and as I'm able to get guests and people coming in, and, you know, a lot of my clients don't feel comfortable being out there and telling their story, but as I build my clientele for people that want to share their story, they will be on my podcast. And you get to see people, right? My goal is for other people to see their story, see where they came from and where they're going. But also it will include live coaching. So it'll be like me coaching somebody who is going through something with their children. One of my clients, she said she'll think about it, but her story is very deep. It includes, you know, physical domestic violence. And so that's one thing that we got to be a little bit sensitive about, because she's still going through some stuff right now, and her daughter is too. But it'll be all the things parenting, but mostly focused on the relationship between children and parents and moms specifically. Okay. Because I feel like, too, another thing, if I could quickly just plug this in, a lot of moms are seen as the nurturer, you know, the caretaker, the one that cooks and cleans and does all the things loving. But what if you're not that type of mom?
Ooh.
And people are telling you, don't be you. What? And your kids can feel that you ain't you. They know it. They feel it. And so how do they identify in this world where they're trying to find themselves and they can't even come to you and you be a reliable figure in their life because you're trying to be somebody else? It gets deep. It gets deep.
Yes.
But yes, the podcast, we will start exposing all of these things and talking about all the things. And I'm hopeful. And I know God told me, so I'm not hopeful. I know it's going to help a lot of people. It's going to help somebody. Yeah.
Yes. Well, you have helped me and everyone else in this episode, and it'll be here to live on the World Wide Web. So I appreciate you taking the time, Michelle, joining me in this space, in this time. Thank you so much for sharing the value that you have brought to the Confident You family.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was amazing. Listen, she brought up a very sensitive subject to my heart. She brought up domestic violence. And you know that's my give back. So my give back is to make sure that anyone who is suffering from or knows someone that is suffering at the hands of domestic violence, that they have this information. So Bethany House can be reached at 1-888-80-HELPS. That's 43577. Or you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 7233. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to tune in today. You can follow, you can like, share, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification so you'll know when the hot things drop here so you can build your confidence, and also share this information with anyone that you believe could benefit from hearing this information. You can follow us at on Instagram and Facebook at Marion Swingler, and as well on Instagram at confidentyou_podcast. Why underscore? Because there's so much more to come. All right, now that was a lot. Mompreneurs, get ready to be able to have all the tools, tactics, tips that you need to be able to be a mompreneur, not just an entrepreneur, not just a mom, and not just yourself, to be able to take all of that and be the amazing you that you are. You know why? Because as my guest, Michelle Keynes, said, actually, as she said that Sinead O'Connor, she brought up Sinead O'Connor, and as Sinead O'Connor says, nothing, absolutely nothing, compares to you. See you next time.